Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
hello.
By golly, we're here, ain't we?
All right, we're here.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, this is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill over here.
Hey, I'm Rich Reardon in here.
And we got John over here.
Yeah, I'm sitting in.
He made her in this morning. He normally comes from Spencer, and he gets in traffic and gets a little late, but that's all right.
There wasn't much traffic today, but I just...
I think we got Don here, too. Hold on just a second here.
We got Don going?
Yep. Well, it's coming. He's coming. Hold on.
Hey, Don. Good morning to Don. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, buddy Bill.
I guess you could tell that wasn't me.
Yeah, I could.
How's Don this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, by golly, we're hanging right in there. Doing pretty good. Yeah, the weather's, I tell you, you're missing some pretty good weather, but I'm sure you got a lot better weather than we got, even at that.
I'm happy with what we got, but I know you got better.
But anyway, I tell you, I don't know.
Well, I think he's supposed to get some rain.
We're supposed to, and you know.
No, Don I'm talking about.
Oh, Don is?
Or is that so, Don?
We had rain last night and just had another little outburst here this morning. It's supposed to rain all morning today. But it's nice. It's in the 70s, you know, and it's going to get a little cooler for a day or two, but then up to the 80s next week.
Oh, you poor guy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going fishing next week.
Nice. Where to?
Well, I'm going to go to one of these wildlife management area lakes that are inland from Pine Island, Fort Myers, here where I'm camped. So it's, you know, sunfish, bluegills, bass, that sort of fish, a crappie or two maybe.
They grow pretty big down there, don't they?
They do. If you're in the right place at the right time, there are some real nice ones down here.
Yeah, I've heard that Florida and Texas just about got the biggest.
Well, everything's big in Texas.
Well, I figured Texas they have to have big.
Yeah, everything's big in Texas.
Yeah, that's what they say. And, you know, lately, the last 10 years or so, some of the biggest fish have come out, especially red ears and that type of fish, out of Lake Havasu out in Arizona. That's where the New World Record.
That makes sense.
That's going to make Texas mad.
Well, you know what happened out there is they got some mussels like zebra mussels. I'm not sure they're exactly like zebra mussels, but they invaded Lake Havasu, and boy, those shell crackers, red ears, eat those up and puts the pounds on. You look for those mussels of a lake that's got a lot of big mussels in it. You're gonna or mussels for the fish to eat, and you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah,
sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Do you take your own boat to Florida?
I used to, but I sold my big canoe this last year, and I'm going to be fishing from the bank this time around.
Okay.
Which is, you know, you got to do that every once in a while, just see how everybody lives, you know.
You're right.
Well, it's actually a lot more comfortable sometimes.
Get you a lawn chair and sit back and relax.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing. That's what I'll be doing. You know, it's going to get an 80, so you gotta wear that sunscreen, you know.
Oh, yes.
Wear that wide-brimmed hat.
Mm-hmm, right.
Keep your hands covered.
Yep.
It's I've learned this, as I did with this operation I had on my face this year. you don't want to let that get away from you.
No, that's striking a lot of people in our age group because we weren't careful enough when we were younger.
That's absolutely true, John. Absolutely true.
I've been fortunate so far because I'm real dark-skinned, and it kind of has helped me, but a bunch of my friends have had to have little surgeries.
How long you had a beard?
1974, January 1st.
Well, see, that helps.
Yeah. It helps part of me.
Yeah.
It don't help the top of my head today.
People don't remember the exact day.
Well, you're supposed to wear a hat there.
Yeah.
How do you remember the exact day? Why was it that day?
So many people have asked me that, and and I specifically stopped shaving on New Year's Day. So it just stuck in my mind. My beard's older than a lot of my friends.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you are. There's your answer.
I've never shaved it off. I've had a lot of different lengths, but I've never shaved it off.
Well, you save on shaving cream. And
I can't endure my beard for very long or very large.
I can't either.
A lot of people tell me that. But shaving irritated my face, and I always hated shaving. So once I quit, I never went back. My wife never saw me without my beard, and we were married 45 years.
Well, I'll be darned.
Wow.
So, John, did you actually grow a beard, or did you just stop shaving?
I just stopped shaving.
Trim it?
Yeah, I do. I've had it a lot longer when I was working outside, and then when I was working for Cook, I carried it pretty short. Nobody told me I had to, but I just thought it fit in better with my job.
There you go.
But I never cut it off. I just take the scissors to it.
Yes, sir. Well, seems like a logical thing to do.
Well, a lot of people don't like a beard. A lot of people tell me what happened to you or what happens to you after about 3 or 4 weeks. They don't like the feel, and they claim it itches and this and that.
Oh, mine comes and goes and has for decades now. So, you know, I got a beard sometimes I don't.
Well, a lot of people do that. That's all right, as long as your wife still recognizes you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've noticed is that actually nobody notices when you shave your beard off. It just blows my mind every time, you know.
Yeah.
They talk to you about it, and they look you right in the face, and you know, never say a word, you know. And if I say something, I say, "Did you see I shaved my beard, I mean, and say, "Oh, geez, I didn't notice, Don."
That's amazing.
They're paying
amazing.
Attention, ain't they?
I got it.
Well, it is amazing.
My wife ever told me if I went to the barber shop and had it taken off, the collar before I come home, I might get shot at.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing you have to think about, I guess.
I shaved my beard off a few years back, about 2-3 years ago. 3 years
ago. I remember that.
And then I looked at myself in the mirror, and now my beard is back to exactly where it was before.
Yeah.
I think I look better with one. Some people do, you know.
Yeah, whenever I meet somebody with a beard, I always say, "I never trust a man with a beard." And they look at me like I'm nuts.
Yeah, well, anyway, the temperature today, right now, is 37 degrees here in Bloomington, so you'd be facing that if you were us.
Well, I'm glad I'm not right now, anyway. And
although we are going to get up to the 58 on Sunday, 58 on that's Monday pretty, and 57 nice. On Tuesday.
Yeah, they're thinking we might break a record. The record, I think, 61.
Yeah.
Well, that's really warm in February. Would you call this the February thaw, Bill?
Gosh, I don't know, Don. It's mixed up right now. Now, this time yesterday morning, it was beautiful. Snowing. Everything was turning white, and it was beautiful. I mean, everything was white, covered with snow, and by noon it was all gone.
Yes, and that'll happen.
I don't think you can call it a thaw till you've had a good freeze, and I don't know.
We haven't had a freeze yet.
I don't think
we've couldn't
had
stay
a good
on that
freeze.
Ground. Ground's too warm.
But what worries me, well, don't really worry me, but concerns me is the fact that we've not had any snow.
Right.
And, of course, you know, we get a lot of nitrogen out of snow, and that's good for the wheat and the barley and, you know, all the small grains, and, of course, it puts nitrogen in for your other crops, too, through the summer. And if there's no snow, there's no mushrooms, they might as well stay at home.
Really?
Because there won't be no mushrooms to speak of.
For the morels.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. For some reason, well, it's the nitrogen and stuff that,
right.
That the snow puts in the ground. And of course, it, like I said, it helps all your grains and stuff. And then in summer, it helps to put nitrogen in for your flowers and gardens and stuff like that.
And the good snow doesn't cause the erosion around here.
Oh, no.
We've had a lot of rain, so our moisture count is okay.
Right.
But the point is, every one of those rains was causing more erosion.
More erosion,
than
yes.
Than a good snow would.
Oh, yes, yes. So I don't know. I still say we're going to get a big snow, but... you know, it's getting kind of late in the, year.
You better hurry that up a little bit.
Yeah, it's getting late. And, of course, we can have snow up into April. I know one year, and I've told it before, I think the 23rd of April, I sowed oats when I was farming. And we went out that morning in T-shirts, just like I've got on here now. And noon, we come in and eat dinner and got a little heavier shirt. And by 4 o'clock, when we started to finishing up, we was getting putting coats on.
Yeah.
And the next morning, there was about 6 inches of snow.
Man, I remember several Easter days where we had snow.
Oh yeah, and them was probably some of the best oats that I ever raised. with that snow, I mean 6 inches of snow—that's a lot of nitrogen that went in the ground and. And of course, that's what helped them along. And
you wasn't sowing wild oats, were you?
Not at that time. Not at that particular time. We was in the field working.
Okay. Well, you know, as you know, speaking of the time of the year and everything, tomorrow is the holiday that the only holiday that I choose to celebrate.
Yeah, you're gonna crawl in a hole?
And I wonder what the old groundhog's going to have to say about winter this year. I haven't seen one yet.
Really. I heard that the famous one, that Punxsutawney Phil,
that's the one.
They were going to have to import one because they didn't have him.
I think he died, didn't he, or something?
Something happened because I heard, the only thing I heard was once, they said they was going to have to import a groundhog.
Well,
you mean they don't have any woodchucks in Pennsylvania?
Well, I don't know how far they meant by import. They might have meant from the next town.
I think he's got a son, and that's who they're going to get.
He's got an heir.
It's got to stay in the family, yeah.
A dynasty.
Yes, they make sure they breed, and they keep a few backups.
Oh, I'll be damned.
Related, yeah. I used to know Butch Philibert, which is... one of the, he was the, each of the guy, you know, the guys with the top hats and the whole thing. Yeah, he was on our show years ago.
Yeah, we talked to him when we was on the other station.
Right.
I'll be darned.
We did. We interviewed him on the telephone, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's been some number of years ago now.
Yeah, that's been quite a while ago.
Yeah, that was way.
By the way, speaking of groundhogs, have you seen the, I'm not going to mention the company name, but this insurance company that has the funny commercials has resurrected a bunch of its old ones, and one of them is the groundhog slash woodchuck.
Woodchuck.
Yeah. There's a new one.
Throwing that lumber, ain't he?
Yeah, they even made a new one.
Lumber.
In the lumber yard.
Uh-huh.
They got one now. They're in the lumber yard. I like
that. I've been throwing those boards out of the top of the building. Chucking those boards.
Chucking them out, yeah.
Chucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're chucking them out.
That's kind of a cute commercial. I enjoy some commercials.
Well, some of them, but boy, some of them are plumb stupid.
Well, I don't listen to them. I leave the room and do something else.
I don't know where
plumb stupid. I'm going to keep that little sound bite.
Well,
I agree.
Some of them, it's I don't know. Well, it'd turn you off from buying from that company or whatever, which I'm not there, because they just irritate the heck out of you, or they do me. Not everybody.
The trouble with the commercial that I really enjoy watching, I'll forget what the heck company put it out to.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's
sure
true.
You've seen the one with the camel who says. Mike.
Yeah.
Seen that one?
Yeah.
And it's, what day is it? Wednesday. Yeah. Hump day.
Hump day, yeah.
Hump day.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of commercials, tomorrow's Super Bowl, too, right?
Oh, man, that's a big commercial event for the year.
Yeah, what seat are you sitting in down there?
That's one big commercial just by itself.
Oh, they said $100 million was spent on the commercial.
Oh, I have a bit of it.
Look out.
In my younger days, I could have...
Oh, Bill.
You got him.
They got mosquitoes, big ones down there.
You better believe it.
Boy.
They're huge.
Huge.
Very huge. Don, what seat are you sitting at the Super Bowl? So I can look for you.
It's a little out of my price range, Bill.
Uh-oh.
I'm sitting in front of the TV seat.
That's your best seat.
Okay, now that's where I can look for you then.
I'm done with crowds anyway.
You know, they said,
you can look for me.
They said the tickets right now, if there's a few available, the minimum is $6,000.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. You could be there. You could be there and take your wife.
Oh, mercy!
Now, between the four of us, let's have a show of hands. I don't need yours, Don, because I can't see it. But I know you won't raise it anyway. For who wants to go and stand in a crowd at the Super Bowl? Anyway,
not me.
No,
not me.
No, me either.
I'm done with crowds.
Yeah, I am too. I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. Yeah, it
got them down here in Florida right now. This is like the peak of the snowbird season. And
oh, yeah.
I want to tell you, there's people on top of people down here in South Florida right now.
Oh, I believe
well,
it.
Right where you're at there, Don, it's a gathering place for all them snowbirds, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's popular.
Yes, it is.
Hey, well, we got to take our break here.
Okay, don't go away, folks. Stay right where you're at, and I'm going to get me some biscuits and gravy. And old Ned, I left him at home this morning, so I don't have to feed him. And I'm going to get me some biscuits and gravy for me and John, and we'll be right back.
Well, what about me?
Oh, did you want some? Okay, I'll get you some too.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Hey, right now we've got fog and mist. Downtown Bloomington at 37 degrees. Going to be not much warmer, 41 degrees today, and then tomorrow it's going to get sunny, and we're going to get a high of 58, Monday 58, and then I think something's coming through, but it looks like a high of 57 and the beginning of some rain on Tuesday. So anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We shall return in a moment.
I want some bait, I want some bass. I've been a sportsman for a mess of fish. These female crickets I never give. That keeps me searching for a mess of fish. And I lost my bait. Keep me searching for a mess of fish. And I got a snag. Keep me searching for a mess of fish. You keep me searching, I'm getting bait. Keep me searching for a mess of fish. I've been a sportsman for a mess so bass.
This is Buddy Bill. You know the lake's still there and it's still wet.
Rooster.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah, the old rooster's crowing this morning. By gum, wonder what's the matter with him.
My rooster, I wasn't sure. The guy told me the truth about age, about like trading horses.
Trying to wake up, you know.
But
hey, was that Perry Como singing there on that Mess of Fish song?
Pretty good one.
Thank you.
Sounded pretty much like Perry Como, you're right.
Oh, Master Fish.
What'd you start to say, John?
Oh, I was just going, nothing important, but when I got this trio of chickens, I just decided I wanted some chickens to have, and the guy was telling me they was pretty young and this and that, and I said, it's about like trading horses. I don't know enough about it to know, but he started trying to crow, so I figured he was pretty young. Plus, he had the big long tail feathers they only had the first couple of years. So
you think you come out all right then?
I told me, well, I don't know. No, I'm spending money on them. I'm not coming out of them.
How many hens did you get?
Just two. I just got a trio.
Oh.
I keep them in a fairly small coop. It's about 6 foot by 2.5 deep, about 4 foot tall, and it's up off the ground. It's where I used to raise my pigeons.
Oh, and you raised pigeons?
Used to have flying pigeons.
Oh, yeah.
Tumblers and rollers, and I had a lot of pigeons. I like pigeons. We were talking about that last time, about squab.
Yeah, we were.
You said you might eat a pigeon, you wasn't going to eat a dove.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat a dove.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you they're related, but they're related.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, you know, but... a dove is what's mentioned in the Bible and stuff, and pigeons not.
Nope.
And I don't know. I'm just kind of, well, that's just my belief.
Well, I never hunted doves. I have raised pigeons and ate squab. My wife never liked it as much as I did, so.
I never even, we used to down home there, we used to... see a lot of pigeons.
Yeah.
But boy, anymore, gosh, I don't see a pigeon. And
they're not as thick as they were.
Oh, gosh, no. And the courthouse up here used to be loaded.
Yeah.
And, of course, they poisoned all of them and killed them all. And I presume that that's the reason we don't see pigeons anymore, because they've eliminated them.
Well, I never heard of Spencer actually having a program to eliminate them. But we used to have a pretty big flock that flew right in town, and I think they were headquartered in the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
And they've done something, because I just see them in pairs. And
yeah, you just don't see them anymore.
I don't see flocks anymore.
No, they
and
got
it may
rid
have
of
something to do with what Don was telling us about this decline in the bird population.
Yeah, that could have a lot
to
do with it.
And they eat out of fields, and if they're getting too much fertilized feed or weed pesticide feed.
Well, that's where, you take, all your wildlife, rabbits, birds, foxes, whatever, that chemical sterilizes them.
Well, and
the eggs won't hatch in the bird.
It goes
sector
through the food chain, too, because if that fox kills a bird, that's got too much pesticide in it, then that fox has got pesticide.
Yep. And it sterilizes the eggs to where they won't hatch. And of course, that eliminates a lot of birds when you take a half a dozen eggs in a nest and they don't hatch.
Well, I saw an article the other day where they're starting a big push on the sporting birds and the migratory birds to help bring them back to substantial numbers. Uh-huh. And that's great, but nobody's worried about the finches and the birds that Don's always talking about that he has watched over the years.
Yeah. You know. Well, it's...
How are the birds in Florida, Don?
Well, it's noticeable here. You used to see, say, 10 or 20 egrets out in a little bay somewhere. Now you see one or two.
Huh.
And
that's something.
The same way with everything except for the yellow-rumped warblers, which seem to be everywhere down here.
How about those those wild parakeets? You still got those wild parakeets down there?
I haven't seen any of those.
No kidding. They used to be pretty thick.
Yeah, they were.
Really parakeets. There's those budgies that people's let go or whatever, but used to be pretty thick.
Those are parakeets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
I don't know.
They do have some. They do have some monk parakeets down here, over at Fort Myers. They're quite. There's a number of places where they're settled. By the way, my wife and I, Joe and I, were driving around in the neighborhood where there's lots of burrowing owls, and we saw a couple of them yesterday, sitting outside their holes. It's getting about breeding time for them, so boy, they're a cute little fellas.
That's what I was just gonna say. I've seen the documentaries that show them, and they're cute as a button.
They are.
What'd you call them?
They're living in lots in subdivisions, just in a lot that's in between houses. Sometimes, you know, they had a little trouble sometimes keeping developers from obliterating them. They have to prove that a nest has been inactive for 2 years before they're allowed to bulldoze them under.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they do have some protections in place for them here.
I was always surprised that they survived predators since they lived in the ground like that.
Well, I'm surprised they survive those predators too, dogs and cats and whatnot. Of course, you don't see many stray dogs or cats running around down here either.
Right.
I think the boa constrictors are taking care of them.
You're probably right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, they had They had a big roundup on them here a while back. I saw something in the paper about it.
Yeah, they had a hunt, and they got 80 of them. Well, I'm sorry, but 80 Burmese pythons aren't going to put a dent in that population.
No.
There's maybe hundreds of thousands of them.
Well, don't they have, when they have young, don't they have like 100 at a time or something?
Yes, and they're born alive. They don't have to lay eggs and then hatch them.
Right.
They come out alive.
Right.
So, they're ready to go from the very first moment.
Well, you could kill half of them and still have a problem.
Oh, shit, you're going to have to get... We're not going to get rid of them. They're here forever. They're here forever. And I think I've mentioned before that they're able to survive cold weather by taking refuge in the burrows of things like woodchucks, gophers, whatever builds a burrow in the ground. A python can go down in there and survive freezing weather. So
yeah,
that means they can move up into Georgia pretty easy. And maybe beyond that. So.
Oh yeah.
They're in North Florida.
I think they climatize as they spread out, and I think a lot of those things we think about as staying down south could move up north eventually. Maybe not.
Especially with climate change and everything getting warmer.
Right. Especially in the states like Indiana and Kentucky, they might not move to. Far north, but I think they could easily move into areas like we live in. Hey,
imagine a python being in northern Wisconsin, where I used to live, where it'd be 56 below zero, So I don't know. They're amazing animals. They could. You don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Did you see any of that information on the big lizards? What are they falling out of trees? You see any of that?
Oh, well, it was all over the media down here. That was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where we had a little bit of freezing weather overnight, and they were talking about the iguanas falling out.
Yeah, iguanas. I couldn't think of the name. I saw that on several news shows where it had been cold enough, and they said within 2 days there were ads on Facebook for iguana meat. And
I don't know how good that is.
Well, I'll tell you, I've heard this before, and I heard it again. They call them chicken of the tree.
Oh, gee, boy.
So evidently it's one of them tastes like chicken deals. I don't know.
Chicken of the tree.
Yeah. And they were.
I like chicken of the ground.
Well, they hit the ground. they go to sleep in their frozen or cold state, and they fall out of the trees. And they were going around and collecting them because they're pretty invasive. So they thought they were going to slow the population a little bit.
Huh.
And then they said it wasn't 2 days, and there was ads on Facebook for meat. Of course, that wasn't federally inspected.
So. Do they I guess they taste like chicken.
I guess, because I've never tasted that. Uh-huh. I've eaten a lot of weird stuff, but I've never tasted that.
That don't even sound good.
If one falls out, John, we'll bring you one.
Okay, that'd be great.
Hey, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the world. I don't know if you felt it. I doubt it. But there was an earthquake in right below you, not too far.
We didn't feel it, but we heard about it.
Yeah, down near my friends in Jamaica. And I was 80 miles north, or I think northwest, out in the ocean from Montego Bay, from the west side of Jamaica. And it's 7.7, so that was pretty big one.
That's a big one. Did that cause any kind of a tsunami?
Well, they had said something even about a Miami warning, but I don't think it ever happened.
I don't think so either.
There was a aftershock felt in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They showed pictures of it on TV here, of water in swimming pools with waves in it caused by that.
Yeah.
And there was, I guess it lasted for more than just one or two little jolts. So.
Well, you know what was interesting? I don't know if you guys remember me telling you this, because I can't remember if I actually said it, but when I went to Jamaica last summer, I was swimming in Montego Bay. I was actually snorkeling, and I had one of those GoPro cameras that you can put on your forehead and go underwater with and everything. And some of the pictures that I got, you can take great still pictures from them as well, you know, after you're done. And there was this weird rippling effect in the water. It wasn't windy, and yet it would change, because I, you know, with the video, you would see it, you know, milliseconds later, you know, the next picture of it, you know. And it was real interesting, and I don't know why, but I had this feeling that there was some kind of earthquakes going on. Now, it could have just been tiny little tremors, you know, but just enough to make this glassy water kind of do this little, I mean, it just looked like a weird little ripple effect, you know, that was sort of everywhere. It would come and then it would go. It wasn't like it was blowing through like you see with wind or anything.
I read once where there's a disturbance like that underwater in the ocean every day.
Yeah.
But we're not always in a position to see it, and it's not big enough to be recorded.
Well, and that place there is the trench. I forget what exactly it's called, but it's a big, huge trench that goes between Jamaica and Cuba, that goes out into the ocean there. So I'm sure that has something to do with it, that, you know, it's a big fault or something, you know.
Was that before or after you jumped in?
I was in, so I might have been doing it, I guess. But it's hard to shake the ocean, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, they say there, you know, I told you, I've read that there's a tremor under the ocean somewhere every day.
Oh, heck, there's tremors everywhere every day.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, I got some tremors. I got some tremors this morning out of the Department of Natural Resources up there in Indiana, if you want to hear them.
Oh, well, let's hear them.
Yeah, we'd like to hear tremors.
Okay, well, the first one is the DNR is looking for public comments on a new statewide forest action plan. And that usually means that there's going to be more tree cutting.
Yep, they're headed for the sawmill.
If you get on the DNR's website, you can read everything you need to know about that.
Well, I'm sure they'll form a committee to study it for a while.
Well, as this is public comment, so you know this is the point where they have to do this just to make it look good. You know, they hear the public comment and then they go ahead and do what they were going to do anyway. So that's what happened there. And
well, there was an article written about middle ground being sought on the Houston South Forest Project.
I don't know what kind of middle ground there could be.
I don't know what there could be either, but I don't know why I just saw that, but it was just a few days ago, like the 28th or something. So we'll have to look
into that.
They're
only
going to
burn 2,000 acres instead of 4,000?
Could be.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Next story is, you know, did I mention a couple weeks ago that there was a creel survey going on down at West Boggs Lake?
I don't recall that.
That sounds like something we're going to have to get into for a second, Don, and we just have to go to a break right now. We're just about to leave. So can you hold on just for a minute, and then we'll start with that when we get back.
Yeah, so don't go away, folks, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We're 37 degrees still downtown Bloomington, foggy, misty, and so be careful out there. There's a lot of patchy fog and rain and stuff, and decreasing clouds today. We're only going to have a high of 41. Then we're looking at 58 Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, pretty much. And then it's going to get a little cooler by Wednesday. I guess there's a little front coming through because we're going to see some showers likely Tuesday night and on that part of the week. Anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big for biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
By the way, Bill, thanks for sharing that biscuits and gravy with me earlier. It was real good.
Was that good?
Yeah,
that there was all right.
John was eating it pretty good.
Yeah, so. John was gobbling right down. Yep. Yeah.
Don, you missed out. We had a big feast here.
Yeah.
Well, I was listening. I heard that Bill was going to go out and get some. Where did you get that biscuits and gravy, Bill?
That's a secret this morning.
I think he knows a cook in town here he won't tell us about.
I bet he knows a cook down on Moffett Lane.
Probably.
Yeah.
He does probably know that cook.
Yeah. One of our caller-inners, I guess that's what you call.
That's good enough.
Yeah, that's good.
Calls in. He calls in about every week. I talked to him this week, he's trying to make some biscuits and gravy and asked me how I made mine. And he's going to bring some down.
All right.
And I'll not tell you who it is. I'll let it be a surprise.
Well, right. Rich mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, that he'd talked to one of our telephone friends.
It might have been the same one.
Yeah, it might have been. Might have been.
So, Don, what were you talking about before we got back here? We said we'd get back to it when we got back.
Back to fishing and hunting. Now, this is this creel survey is going on down at West Boggs Lake, which is down by Lagodi. You probably know, most of us have fished there at one time or another. They renovated that lake, meaning they drained it, poisoned it, and restocked it here a few years ago for the second or third time, I believe. But anyway, I asked this biologist why they were doing this fish survey, and here's his answer. He says, "We are conducting a tagging study at West Boggs to better understand how much fishing pressure and harvest the crappie population is experiencing. This lake is exhibiting fast growth and currently has a healthy population of fish and may be a potential candidate for a 9-inch minimum length limit crappie in the future.
Wow.
If you haven't fished West Boggs recently, I would encourage you to go." So that's what's going on down there. I don't remember crappie being a feature fish down there back in the day when it was really hot. They had a lot of nice bluegills in there.
Yeah, I never heard of a bluegill or a crappie either.
Well,
I'm not sure. They must have put them in, stocked them this time around.
Evidently, they had to.
No, I know that crappie and bluegill sometimes don't get along that well together, and I really don't know how that's working out. But a nine inch crappie isn't a very big crappie, you know. They put a limit on it at that length. So I'm kind of curious what really is going on there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're worried about the crappie getting out of control. I don't know.
I don't know. Now, the thing about crappie, you guys are much better fishermen than I, but I've always thought they were pretty delicate. So I'm not sure that catch and release will help a whole lot with crappie.
No, I don't believe it will either, although your little ones, you know, you don't want to keep them because...
Right. You want to give them a chance, but I've always thought they were pretty difficult to keep alive after they've been hooked very much.
Well, I'm not sure about that, John. I really don't know. I know that they'll stay alive in a fish basket for quite some time.
Yeah, you're right.
Where I think you get in trouble is that when you hook them in the mouth, it tears their mouth.
Right.
I think that's where you get
I've in. Just heard they're more delicate.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
That way, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that little thin membrane in their mouth will grow back. So I don't think there's really any damage. You don't do any damage unless you get the hook deep in there, deep into them where you get into the gills and whatnot. Then they're not going to survive. But if you just lip hook them, they'll make it.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's what's going on with the crappies down there. And I got a couple more here, WFHB. Yeah. Some people might be interested in this. There's a bluebird workshop down at Patoka Lake on February the 29th. So if you want to build bluebird boxes, you can go down to Patoka, and that'd be Leap Day, February 29th. How about that, Leap Day? And it's going to cost $15 for a nest box kit, so you can build, you have stuff to do it with. They're going to provide supplies and tools and whatever you need and instructions. So the Nature Center number down there is 812-685-2447. Got that? One more time. 812-685-2447. Okay?
Yeah.
Next one is it's time for turkey hunt talk. 200 and annual hunting license are the ones from last year are valid through March 31st, 2020. And the new 2020 annual licenses are on sale now, but not valid until the 1st of April. So you got that? I'm going to have to get a new one for this year's hunt.
I've been seeing quite a few turkey groups moving around. I don't know if I'd call them flocks or not. There's a couple around here, around where I live in Owen. There's a couple that are probably 15 to 20 birds. That's pretty good size. But
yeah, well, they're, you know, they do their what I want to call it, their spring mating dances and whatnot. Right. Those male turkeys get out there, strut around, and, you know, act funny. And the females kind of hang around the edges and watch them. And then I guess they pick one out of the bunch and, for their mate. So that's what brings them all together this time of year. They're interested in making babies.
I've got a few friends that get into that turkey hunting pretty deep. That's one thing I never got too involved with.
Well, turkey hunting is one of those kind of hunting that requires patience and setting. So, you know, you got to sit there and hope maybe you can call them to you, but you're better out going out and scouting where they're roosting and wait for them to come off the roost in the morning if you can find it.
That's what I've always heard. I don't do it, but I've heard that.
But that's coming up, boys. Yeah. So turkey hunting guys are going to be out there in the woods pretty soon.
Well, I've got turkeys come right by my house, so I imagine I'll hear a few getting shot at.
Well, I always knew there was a lot of turkeys out there in Owen County.
Yeah. I don't know how you meant that. I don't know how you meant that. I'm going to let that pass.
I meant it any way you want to take it there, John. That's okay.
Hey, you asked me the other day about, was there anything going on? We've had a real contentious situation with our county commissioners and our county council. It's been...
Been following that.
Yeah, your friend Laura Lane, or at least your acquaintance, I guess your friends, she got called back to Bloomington, so she's only part-time over there now. But I really like her, and she is doing that car column for the Spencer paper now, which is really nice.
Yes, that's really a popular feature and the best thing that she does. She's a good reporter, always has been. I like her car column, too.
Yeah, and the thing I still like about the Owen County paper is whoever's been the reporter, that Amanda and then Nicole who left and then Laura Lane, they always, when they put down a meeting, they don't leave any much out. I've been to some of the meetings they report on, and when I read about them, it's just like being there, which I always hoped it was that way, but... we've had a few pretty dust-up arguments, and they've covered them pretty complete.
Yes, I've been following her, my wife has, and on the Internet, and it sounds like they got some personality problems over there in the county commissioners.
They got one for sure. I probably shouldn't say that on the radio, but they got one.
Why not?
Yeah, Laura Lane or Amanda, I can't remember who, just ran an article in the Spencer paper, and the headline was, "Commissioners and Council Meet, Commissioner President Not Present, No Arguments."
Yeah, that I read that too.
I thought, boy, that's pretty cool because I was there, and that's exactly right. If we pull that one egg out of the basket, it seems like everything goes along pretty good.
Wasn't this all start over a new ordinance for festivals and things like that on the square? And
that was very contentious. Yes, and they did pass it against the public outcry, and that caused some hard feelings, but we've had a lot of discussions on expenditures lately that haven't gone well, and we had a terrible finding that there had been a paperwork mistake. It cost us $900,000 for the year.
That's a lot of money in Owen County.
That's a lot of money in any county, but in Owen County, I went to the budget hearings this year. I'd never been to one before. Because of being home with my wife, I just read about them. It's amazing to me how much money a small county has to invest just to keep going.
Several million.
It surprised the heck out of me.
Yep, a lot of money. Why didn't they want festivals over there?
They thought they might be getting out of hand and that they were taking up too many parking places and causing too many discipline problems among the people who came to these festivals, I guess. That's what I understand. They never really said.
Well, I never read anything either what they really said.
At the meetings, they had complaints from three people about certain just little technical things, and they turned it into a big redo of the festival ordinance, a big redo, and raised all the fees. And unfortunately, in today's world, that's getting blamed on the commissioners, one or two or whatever, not being happy with what they do with the Pride Festival over there.
You know, in days past, you probably remember they used to have a big fur trappers congregation around the square every year.
Yep. Yes, actually, when I first moved over there, that was still going on.
Yes, it was quite popular, but when trapping kind of fell out of favor and then the prices went down, the trappers disappeared.
Right.
We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, the market actually killed the trapping. Public was starting to kind of turn against it like they do with anything that's what I consider part of our legacy. The public opinion was turning against trapping, but I think what really killed it was they got to the market and talked people out of handling fur product, and that really made a difference to the trappers.
Well, the prices just plummeted.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. There was enough public pressure. They didn't have to go after the trappers. They went after their market.
Well, their markets are still out there, but they're not in America.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Yeah, we
Europe
used to,
and Russia and other
China.
The furs are still in.
Yeah.
For years, my wife and I, we had an antique and trading post shop, and we bought coyote hides, and she made really neat hats out of them. And we didn't care if anybody complained about it or not, but we used to buy American-trapped coyotes, and the last few years we bought them at Friendship, they all came out of China or Russia.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, every one of them. And
coyote's a nice fur, and they do make nice hats.
Yeah, she made cool hats out of them.
And they're hard to trap. You know, it's really hard to fool a coyote. And I know a lot of guys didn't try to trap them just because of that, because they'd pull the stakes out and end up hurting themselves and getting ready, taking your trap with them.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't believe there's too many guys who really like to trap coyotes.
No.
But because of that.
That's probably true.
They are extremely smart and they can smell everything. And, well, they're a tough guy to go after.
Yeah.
Well, in any case.
Hey, well, we're running out of time. I did want to bring up one other thing. It is, we got a couple minutes left. Did you see that article about the locusts in Africa?
Yes.
Didn't hear that.
Pretty amazing.
I did not.
These locusts, of course, if you remember, all the way back to the Bible, again, we mentioned the doves, but the hordes of locusts coming up, in Ethiopia and Egypt even. And I just started reading about this because I've got a friend in Nairobi, and who runs a safari company, as you guys might have remembered. And Northern Kenya and a lot of that area is just getting wiped out by these things. They're giant swarms of locusts, and they can eat their weight every day, and you've got trillions of them, you know, so they're just devastating the forest and their farmers that can, you know, whatever they can grow. Ethiopia is actually fairly, it has a lot of forest and stuff. It does have desert too, but there are places that it's making it really hard for people to eat, let's put it that way, and they're trying to figure out some ways to deal with it.
I got the solution for that. You know, I know that locusts are pretty good to eat, and with that those numbers that they have in those locusts over there right now, I'm sure you could harvest them in big mass quantities. And if you got anybody that's starving, well, I want to tell you now, they aren't that bad, and
deep
probably
lime.
Make something good out of them.
I think they're supposed to be high in protein.
Yeah, you deep
sure
lime.
They are.
We used to do that and had gravy on the show back years
that's
ago.
Right.
Yeah, when they was here. Well, we had them. You deep fry them, and they're real crispy, and oh, they're good.
They haven't come through here like they used to.
Well, that was cicadas, but close enough.
It's close enough, yeah. they're not that much of
There's probably not that much taste difference.
Well, we had to rename everything here.
Of course, they're going to taste like whatever they ate, so it might make a difference where they come from. I don't know.
I'll have to play that commercial someday for us.
Insects are the great untapped food resource of the world, and we're all going to be eating them one of these days. Well, not us personally, but people on down the line.
Well, they'll
be looking for them.
They need to follow your advice on that, because if those poor countries are being hit with them, that's what they should be doing. They might even be able to market them.
It all depends on what they think about it. You know, some things like that are unclean in certain religions,
right.
And they're not allowed to eat certain things. And I hope locusts aren't one of them, because they need them.
Well, I think if that's all that you got floating around you, you'd probably have to. So who knows?
There you go. There you go.
It's a necessity thing.
Well, anyway, as I said, you can hear the music now.
We're about done.
So
yeah,
another hour gone.
Done.
It was good talking to you boys this morning.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. You know more about Indiana than we do.
Yeah, and you're not even here.
Well, I'm there in mind.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And spirit. So, thanks for
Well, Don,
talk
you
to
have
you next week.
You have a good week, Don, and enjoy the warm weather. And by golly, everybody, enjoy this weather. I tell you, I don't know. We'll talk more about weather next week, I guess, because it's supposed to be almost record high this week. So everybody have a good week. Enjoy it. And we'll be back next week with something. I don't know what, but it'll be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.